Software developers often build expertise by engaging in new and challenging projects. In this immersive environment, lessons learned are passed from person to person, and there's a tendency toward adopting practices based on experiential and sometimes rather anecdotal evidence. Well, there's nothing really wrong with this. We can add to and refine our knowledge by empirically evaluating important practices. About 3 years ago, I had the privilege of working with two IBM architects, Mamoun Hazala and Peter Bars, one of whom was my PhD student at the time. For his PhD dissertation, Mamoun decided to explore and question some of the best practices and the subsequent claims surrounding the then-hype service-oriented architecture, or SOAR. In this column, we're going to explore these issues. You might ask why an exploration of service-oriented architecture or business agility is relevant for a requirements column. The only real answer I have is that requirements is not something that's neatly sandboxed into the beginning phases of a project. Instead, I see requirements influencing every step of the development process. So in the story we're about to tell, we explored the relationship between the development environment and a specific quality goal, that of business agility. However, we believe that the analytical techniques we used could equally be applied to other kinds of quality goals. And more importantly, the message I want to bring through this column is the need to challenge ideas, to question beliefs, and to understand how various development practices and technical decisions can help or hinder the achievement of various quality goals. So Mamoun, I'd like to introduce you. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about yourself to start with, and then you can tell us a little bit about what motivated this study into the best practices of SOAR.
Okay, so I'm an executive software architect with IBM. I'm primarily now working on the strategic initiatives within IBM, primarily focused on cloud, mobile, social, and analytics, and helping customers in adopting these type of megatrends that are common now in IT industry.
Maybe you could start off by telling us a little bit about how you decided to do this study to start with.
Okay, so basically during the SOA days back 2006, 2007, there was a lot of hype around SOA and the perceived benefits of SOA. And one of these common or most common touted benefits was primarily the business agility that it brings to the table, that when customers basically implement their SOA solutions, it's implied at the time that you achieve business agility. So that was actually something interesting, that basically I was doing a lot of SOA kind of customer-related work, and I really wanted to get into the depth of, is that a true statement, or is that just a marketing hype that companies use to convince their customers of going and implementing SOA? So that was kind of the genesis of, okay, is that a true statement? And if that is the case, then are there some telltale signs or some metrics that people can use or companies can use so that it can help them or tell them that, yes, agility is about to be achieved, or there are some indications that agility has been achieved once you implemented a SOA solution?
So let's just kind of go back to the roots a little bit, first of all. Did you find that, you know, as a kind of quality goal or as a requirement that people stated up front that they wanted to engage in this project in order to achieve a business agility goal?
In fact, you know, so the evidence related to these elements was anecdotal at best, right? So very few of those customers were stipulating that, yes, I would like to achieve agility. So it was always something else. And, oh, by the way, agility happens to be as a byproduct of this SOA, so that's great. But I haven't been with a customer who came out and looked me in the eye and said, I would like to achieve business agility, therefore I would like to implement SOA.
So one of the things that you did in your project was to, first of all, try and not only define business agility, but to also try and measure it in a project so that you could come up with a way of determining if a project actually achieved it or not. Do you think you could kind of talk a little bit about that, first of all?
Sure. So the business agility, it was interesting from the beginning, because when you look at the definition, there were many definitions to start with. So had to agree on a common term what business agility means, right? So among the, all of the definitions that I looked at, I think you can reach a common understanding that basically says the ability of an organization to adapt in response to changes, right? Now, the more interesting question becomes, okay, so that's a definition. What does that mean from business perspective when you say business agility? So looking at some of the work that was done earlier to look up the word agility, it was commonly mentioned in the manufacturing world and the industrial engineering type of settings. However, in computer science settings or software engineering settings, it was never mentioned. And I want to be specific here. Business agility here is totally different from when we talk about agile business practices or agile development. These are two different things, right? So from business agility perspective, there was nothing. So I had to figure out how you can measure business agility before I go and set out to do anything about whether the fact that SOA achieved business agility or didn't. So that's where I came to basically create what we call is the Business Agility Index, which is an index that measures business agility contributions of a given SOA project. And I created a way to calibrate that based on some questions. And basically, I was able to distinguish between projects that were able to achieve higher levels of business agility according to this index versus those that did not.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. And maybe you could tell us something about how did you actually calibrate this? Did you test it out on lots of different projects, or how did you do this?
Okay, so in order to get to the business agility index, I worked with a lot of colleagues who basically went and did SOA implementations with customers. And, you know, as an IBM architect, you work with lots of customers. You may end up with working with similar customers within the same industry and other industries. So it was interesting to talk to my fellow colleagues and talk about, you know, the concept of business agility and the fact that if you were to create something to measure these type of practices or the agility benefits, what would be the top 8 questions or 5 questions or whatever questions that you would reach in order to achieve this type of measure. And that's where we basically reached out a set of questions that we can ask for every customer who did implement SOA. And as a result of deploying SOA, there are some telltale signs that basically tell you if you are able to achieve business agility or not. And I'll go back to the definition, is the ability to respond to change and adapt, right, continuously to changes. So some of these questions, I'll just mention a sample. You know, as a result of deploying SOA, is your organization able to achieve business outcomes, better business outcomes, and respond faster to customer changing requirements and demands? Right? Each question was marked with a yes or no type of setting. If you answered yes, you get 1 point. If you don't, you get a 0. And if you tally up these questions, there are 8 points. And based on the statistical analysis that I collected through an IBM SOA conference, with about 39 case studies, we were able to basically judge based on the index that companies who achieved greater than 4 on the index, basically they were able to achieve business agility. And we also had an independent master question to the customer themselves and said, well, according to this project, were you able to achieve business agility, yes or no? And then we were able to compare and contrast the statistical results with the results from the customer, and they were basically kind of matching. For those who said yes, we looked up the score on the business agility index, and those tended to be greater than 4. So we got some verification that this index is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
From what I understand, the buy is basically an after-the-fact measure. So you can look at a project that's been deployed and you can ask these kind of questions about what we achieved, and you can evaluate the extent to which the project has achieved business agility. But I know your intent in this work was to build a more predictive model so that when you're actually engaged in a project, you can see, are you doing the right kind of things in order to be able to achieve business agility? So I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about your predicted by index and how you went about building that.
Okay, so you're absolutely right. So it doesn't help much if you were to decipher this after the fact. It will be much more important from a company perspective or organizational perspective that while I'm doing this in the middle of the way, am I doing the right thing or is it being done the wrong way? So, and that's where you start looking at, okay, business agility, what are the primary factors of business agility? And those could be elements related to the software architecture, the use of services. You could look at it and say, okay, there are potentially other elements related to the use of business process management and the fact that you have automated processes that are linked up together, etc. And you can look at it and say, okay, well, maybe impact analysis would be one of those elements that could contribute to business agility. Or you can think about it in terms of how loose your solution architecture is and how the components are loosely coupled through the solution. Some people thought also that governance is another factor where with the proper governance practices, it's a contributor to achieving business agility. So you can look at it from multiple perspectives and say, okay, well, here are potential candidate elements, right? And these elements may have additional attributes that are underneath each one of them. So can we get to a setting where we can collect questions and get the answers to these questions and then do some exploratory factor analysis to reduce the number of elements? And is there a way that we can group them? And then can we produce a statistical evidence that these are truly the factors that are contributing to business agility? And based on that model, basically the elements of predicted business agility, we are able to reach what I call the predicted buy, which is basically similar to buy, but it allows you to collect this data much more upfront in the development cycle and then discover if you are doing okay on the business agility outcome that you're trying to achieve out of your SOA solution.
Okay, let's just backtrack 1 minute. I just want to make sure that everybody understands, because you covered a lot in that last last discussion. But you mentioned five different areas, which you've already told us. For example, one of them was business process management.
Right.
And then you said that underneath each of these five areas, there's basically other questions that you're going to ask. Maybe you could just one of them for an example and tell us about the kinds of information that you had to go and collect from real projects in order to kind of measure the extent to which, for example, business process management was present in a project.
Okay, sure enough. All
I'll
right.
Pick so another I'll, one, whichever one you want to pick.
Sure. I'll take BPM, right? So business process management. So business process management, if you were to consider business process management, you know, you can look at it and say, okay, well, business process management, what does it mean, right? So different experts would tell you different things, but I think they would reach a common understanding. What is BPM? So BPM starts off with the fact that you have the modeled business processes. So you went and documented your business processes through a modeling tool. You also externalized your business rules. So they are no longer hard-coded as part of your artifacts. They are coded somewhere external to the system so that on the fly, when certain business conditions change, these rules are externalized and can be changed without having to change the code that's built on top of them. You can also look at, are there engines that these rules are housed in, which basically allows you to do the remote management, the redundancy, the governance of these type of rules. You can look at process orchestration engines. You know, do I have the ability to link up steps within the process through an orchestrator that would allow me to introduce elements of variability within my business process in addition to the elements of variability of business rules? Then you can look at, do I have some KPIs? You know, I build a business process, I model it to be as efficient as possible, and I can say it has to take 5 seconds from end to end, and I set this KPI. Do I have the ability and the means to monitor my KPI? And if something is happening at runtime, I have the means to go and do something about it, for example, through a policy that may say if this business process is taking longer than 5 seconds and I have an important customer coming in, maybe I need to switch to a different business process or less steps so that my important customers don't get bogged down with these type of things? Then do I have the ability to simulate my modeled business process and to see if there are bottlenecks within 1,000 user, 10,000 user, or 100,000 users, right? So these are all elements that the experts within the SOA framework agree to, that if you were to have these elements, then yes, you are having true BPM system within the organization, and most likely you will be able to adapt more or better if you have these type of elements within your system as part of SOA.
So at this point, basically, you know, this is the best practice or the anecdotal evidence that you think these factors or these elements will contribute to business agility. But then you took all of these different factors, you created metrics that you could use to kind of measure them, and then you went through some kind of factor analysis to determine which ones of them should be part of your model. Is that correct?
That is correct. So you know, the sample of the data, you know, when you start looking at 39 projects or even 100 projects, and when you start looking at multiple attributes, the model becomes unstable, and the introduction of many factors into regression analysis would basically render the model unstable. So in order to overcome these type of issues, basically the best practices in regression modeling tells you, well, not all these attributes would be basically all contributing, right? So what they give you is the ability to do principal factor analysis or principal component analysis that allows you to do some type of exploration around, okay, are these elements of the BPM score, for example, are they all relative or contributing to the model, or maybe a subset of them, right? And that's where the factor analysis would help you. Out of these 9 or 10 elements that I mentioned, 6 were basically are the relevant ones based on the factor analysis. The same thing with the SOA score. You know, we had probably 12 in there, and there were like 6 or 7 of them were relevant. Similar things were attributed to the impact analysis and governance type of practices. So out of the multiple elements that we've had as part of the attributes, we reduced the number, and that's where the rest of the model was built, using the reduced elements of the number of these attributes to reach out to what is the predicted by as part of this model.
Okay, and so then you take this kind of reduced set of factors, you gathered all the information from your projects, you built your multiple linear regression model, you right. basically put it all into the pot, and these were, of course, your 5 explanatory variables, and when you ran your analysis, of course, you were trying to investigate whether all of these 5 elements really, truly contributed to business agility or not, and what did you discover?
Right. So great. So that's the beauty of SPSS and statistical tools, right? So you enter all this data into the computer and the program, and then you set your parameters, and then the results come back to you and saying, okay, SOA is relevant, BPM is relevant, and impact analysis is relevant, because these all had significant correlations at less than 0.005 significance. The rest of them, the loose coupling and governance, they had some significance but would not be accepted through statistical type of standards. So that's why they were thrown out as part of the model, and basically the model ended up having BPM, impact analysis, SOA, and impact analysis as the primary factors for business agility.
And just to clarify, because I know we've had a little bit of discussion about this recently, but when you actually did the study, you had this area that you called impact analysis. Right. And we've kind of renamed it perhaps a little bit recently, and I think you were calling it proactive monitoring and analysis. Or
that is correct. That
okay,
is correct.
Just so that we're kind of clear about that.
Right.
So then the two areas which basically got thrown out of the model, one of them was governance. And,
right.
So, you know, there was an assumption previously to this from your experts that fed information into this model that governance would help you achieve business agility, but doing this actual empirical study kind of told you to be careful about that. It's not necessarily that we should throw governance out, but that there's kind of a check and balance here, and that perhaps too much governance kind of retards business agility. Is that kind of your read on that one? Or?
You're absolutely right. And that's a case where, you know, anecdotal evidence compared to empirical evidence, this is where they don't agree, right? So history or stories from people in the field may tell you something, but when you go and put it to the test, maybe that not that significant. There are more significant items to it. And, you know, I can see what you said related to the items related to the governance. I mean, I can have the worst type of architectures out there, and I can have the best type of governance. Would that help me as part of my business agility? Most likely not. So I think it's a balance between the items. Loose coupling, you know, the model threw it out, but threw it out with a lesser degree than governance. So that tells you that loose coupling is a little bit more significant or more important than governance, still not significant enough to be included in the model. But that's something that basically validates many of the movement around loose coupling and the fact that loose coupling is good. And, you know, I think the model did not completely rule it out. It just was not significantly appropriate to include it, but still had some importance to it.
And just one final thing about the model. I know that when you did an analysis of the model in the end, you found that it actually explained about 63% of the variance in business agility. In other words, that the five major factors that you'd looked at only accounted for about 63% of the whether a project achieved business agility or not.
And right.
I know you thought about that a little bit.
Sure.
What does that mean?
Right. So the adjusted R squared for the model basically was 0.64. Basically, it tells you that it explains 64% of the variability of the data. What about the remaining 24% or 26%? Basically, that means there are other factors, right? And most likely, there will be other factors, right? You know, something that we did not completely investigate is how the impact of the cloud and elastic computing, for example, on these type of systems. You know, there were some elements related to monitoring of resources and the fact that some resource allocation of resources is handled in a kind of more non-static way. But I think nowadays, if you were to think about cloud models and the fact that systems can grow and shrink dynamically based on the load and the load deployment, I think if there were additional elements to that, probably that would have been a factor. And I think that would be one of the interesting things that can be done in the future to see if there were projects that did include these type of things, and including those in the model, would that change the results of the model, and would that be included as part of additional elements and maybe getting to a higher adjusted R squared of the model?
Okay, great. So as you know, this is a requirements column, and everything that I talk about in this column or cover has its roots in some way related to requirements. And it's just that my belief is that requirements really impacts the whole life cycle. And I think this is really an example of taking one, you know, quality goal for a project, whether it's explicitly or implicitly believed, challenging perhaps some of the anecdotal beliefs that we have about how to achieve it, and really trying to kind of become more concrete about understanding what it takes to translate a quality goal into something, you know, very concrete and something that we can kind of track and know that we're doing the right things to achieve. And I wondered if you'd like to close by talking about that kind of meta question of, you know, do you see this as a study that was just for business agility, or do you see that we could do the same kind of thing and look at other kinds of quality goals that we might want to be able to achieve in a project?
Well, you know, I honestly think that, you know, anything that may have some human elements to it, you know, whether that's requirements and non-functional requirements specifically, because they're more fuzzier than business requirements. I don't have as rigid as requirements, you know, as business requirements. So I have business requirements that says, you know, when you input A, the output is B. Done. There is no way to say, you know, is B plus or B prime is the right answer, right? So anything related to non-functional requirements, I think if you were to go and look at what were the stipulated requirements versus what you're getting into the results, I think you can look at factors that contributed to these type of results, and then you can model these type of factors and see if some of the elements that you're thinking are relevant to achieving your results are truly the ones that are helping you to achieve such results, or there are some spurious type of factors that you may be thinking that are important and they're not important. I think that type of work can be applied to elements of non-functional requirements to help more crisp the fact that what are the true contributors to achieving availability of five nines or achieving the right level of security, right? Security is an area where no matter what we're trying to do or accomplish, there always seems to be a hole somewhere that somebody is hacking through, right? So that would be an interesting area in security where it's more fuzzier than, let's say, availability. I can specify five nines, and I know what five nines means, how many minutes I need to be down per year, right? So yes, definitely it can be applied. There are areas where it can be applied.
Okay. Well, I think I'll actually just close with one more question. You did this study a few years ago. You're obviously a practicing architect at IBM. Did the results of this study impact your thinking? Did it make any differences in the way you go about your SOAR projects?
Yes.
Or was it just an interesting intellectual exercise?
Right. No, it was immediately applied in the field because, you know, as I built this study and I was still practicing SOA, and SOA was still hot in many areas of the world. You know, I was in Dubai for 2 years in international assignment where the main thing there is SOA. You don't hear much of it as here in the US because now it's assumed. You don't need to go and convince people that they need to do SOA. But I can take the same lessons and practices and apply them to other areas, you know. So somebody comes and says, cloud is very hot right now, social is hot, big data and analytics is hot, right? Yeah, okay, great. Why they are hot? What are the factors that would give you these type of benefits if you were to apply it to the cloud, big data, mobile, etc., right? Is it just one factor, or is it the confluence of these elements or megatrends? And what type of these megatrends that would benefit you as you go forward? Is it just implementing SOA or building a virtual type of machine with dynamic provisioning? Is that good enough? Or are there other factors or best practices that need to be employed? And that's exactly the same thinking when I had my SOA hat at the time, trying to find out what are the true factors and can you empirically validate such factors and can show it to people, yes, here's the evidence for it. Right? It's exactly the same situation.
Great. Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you, Jane, and for giving me the opportunity as well. Thank you.